broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, so earlier on, we played you a clip of the president speaking this afternoon at the South African Automotive sort of conference, celebrating investment in South Africa by the automotive industry dating back to 100 years ago today. And I said to you, stay tuned for our conversation later on in the evening, because we're going to speak a little bit about the trends that we're seeing in the motor industry in terms of demand, both from EV to the secondhand market. And this is an area that, or at least a sector that we've spoken about quite a bit in light of the economic challenges, interest rate conversation, strike activity. If you recall, the BMW BMW site where there was some industrial activity, and electric vehicles, as that we have been talking about on the show, like the first South African-made electric taxi, minibus taxi. And then we had Nafisa Akbor the other day talking to us about EV and the take-up of EV in general. So we continue in this theme with Marsha Mayaba, who's Sales Vice President for Auto Information Services at TransUnion South Africa. Marsha, thank you so much for joining us this evening on Kaya Biz. How are you doing?
Good evening, Rafilwe, and good evening to the Kaya Biz listeners. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So what you're finding in terms of your vehicle pricing index for the second quarter of 2024, integrating data from various sources, is showing that there's still a decline, a continuing decline in new vehicle sales, and a 6% drop there, and a 6% drop in total vehicles financed from the previous quarter. But there seems to be some resilience in the secondhand market.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Rafilwe. You're quite right. You know, the automotive industry is not unique. It is also susceptible to all the economic challenges that we currently face. So we've had a 6% decline year on year. What we have seen, though, and this has been a consistent preference from consumer behavior since post-COVID, a preference towards pre-owned vehicles. One, purely because if you look at what our data tells us on the Q2 VPI report, which you mentioned, new vehicle sales prices rose by 4.4%, where on pre-owned, it only rose by 0.6%. And what does that mean? It talks to the consumers really experiencing some strife and challenges around affordability. Just as an interesting stat to talk about that, Rafilwe, TransUnion also conducts a consumer pulse survey, and our quarter two consumer pulse survey says our customers or consumers are very genuinely concerned about affordability. If we look at the price or average price of a food basket, household food basket, it's 5,300 rand per month.
That's right.
So when you look at this, that equates to a vehicle installment, right? Mm-hmm. So it goes without saying that consumers say, do I feed my family or do I buy a vehicle? Yeah. That's the decisions that they have to make.
Well, I mean, yes. But, you know, sometimes I have to buy a vehicle in order to feed my family. And so that's a very difficult choice. Talk to me about sort of some of the generational trends that you're seeing come through, because your report is extraordinarily detailed.
And you know, you're quite right. It's a very tough decision that consumers have to make. Generational shift, very interesting. Gen Zs are starting to buy vehicles, Rafilwe. In the previous quarter
what?
One, we saw them operating at 7.
You're right. My niece drives. Yes, she drives me, frankly.
Yeah, at 7.9% in quarter one. In quarter two, they rose to 10.9%. The millennials continue to dominate 40% of the market. So between these two generations, Rafilwe, they occupy 50% of the vehicles that are financed in South Africa. Mm. So we can't ignore what it is that they stand for, what their preferences are, how they want to be serviced, and how adaptable and flexible we are to meet their expectations. So that's the interesting analogy there.
So they are much more picky than, say, a baby boomer.
They are.
Okay.
And they are. And they are digital. Sorry, Rafilwe, carry on.
No. You please go ahead.
Thank you. They are digital. They are tech savvy. They want a seamless end-to-end digital customer experience. If our dealerships and our lenders do not provide that, this generation knows exactly what they want, when they want it, how they want it. And the expectation is that our data shows we as an automotive industry need to be agile and suit their lifestyle and their demands, not the other way around.
Now, tell me, how does the market, being dealerships and financing vehicles, for example, financing institutions, how do they respond to that? And are they responding to that?
They absolutely are, because if we don't, we are definitely going to lose this opportunity and these customers. The dealerships need to make sure that they've got robust digital platforms, and they've started evolving into that. The important thing is that if you're not there, you've got to start. From a finance perspective, the lenders need to understand this consumer says, this is how much I can afford, customize the finance for me. And this is how long I actually want to pay for it. Customize the term that I want from you. This is my lifestyle. You want me to be in the credit lending space. I want to buy a vehicle. So meet me and tailor make it. Gone are the days where you go and buy a vehicle and the dealer says this is the price and the lender says this is the installment and off we go. It's the other way around now.
Gotcha. Now, very interesting. If baby boomers are starting to fall off, how does that impact the overall vehicle financing landscape? I imagine that's actually quite positive. I feel as though baby boomers are more inclined to hold cars for longer.
They do. They hold cars for longer. They refinance whatever installment or finance portion that is left. And it goes without saying that, you know, the evolution of automotive industry and as these new entrants come in and the generational shift, we would fall off. In fact, I'm a Gen X. I'm not a baby boomer. But you would see the tapering off of baby boomers as these ones sort of come rising in. So, and that's just it. There's no new entrants. It's tapering off because these new entrants are coming through. And that's what our data shows in this Q2 report.
So the other thing about the Q2 report that's coming at odds with what we were talking about earlier in terms of affordability, I don't know if your vehicle assistant asset finance results are inflation adjusted over the last, you've been doing this since 2011, but the proportion of cars that cost over 300,000 is at its highest since you started reporting, and it dominates that which is purchased. Is that an inflation thing, or is that the fact that cars in general are more expensive, or it seems as though the taste for more expensive cars is increasing?
And it's a combination. Okay. It's a combination of inflation. It's a combination of the interest rates. It's a combination of the cost of bringing vehicles in the country when we import these vehicles. Everything is around what it takes to put this new vehicle together and put it out in the market. So I mentioned earlier, new vehicles have increased in quarter two by 4.4% compared to quarter one. That's a big increase. And the average vehicle price at the moment is 400,000. That was a 2.3% increase from quarter one. So it continues to shift. So once the interest rates in this case, we had a bit of a green shoot some weeks ago where we had a 0.25 basis point reduction. Yes. We've had some tapering off of reduced fuel prices, even though we hear there might be an increase. Mm-hmm. Power supply has sort of, we've had about 200 days of no interruption of power supply. All that talks to the elements that will soften the blow when the economy lifts. But to your question, it is a combination of what influences that decline.
So let's look a little bit at the future of the industry in general. First of all, EVs are the ones that are all the rage, right? Electric vehicles. I'm wondering whether the adoption is picking up to some extent, albeit that they are priced a little higher, and whether or not maybe even the predominance of Gen Zs, and millennials is maybe helping, you know, with their social justice concerns, such as the environment.
Mm. Fula, you mentioned earlier that, you know, our president, Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, addressed us at the NAMSA show here in the Western Cape earlier today. And every single government official, including our presidents of the various OEMs and CEOs, spoke extensively around electric vehicles. And it would go without saying once again that the younger generation who are tech savvy, the younger generation are becoming more and more environmentally aware and socially aware. And the expectation is that how do we provide for a societal challenge relative to what consumer demands are going to be? And this is how the adoption of electric vehicles is taking place. It's very small at the moment, Rufilo. It's 1% of the total vehicle market. But we see a quarter-on-quarter increase of 5%. So we cannot ignore what is coming our way, and the adoption is coming through. I must, however, highlight the challenges that we have. We do not have the infrastructure for these vehicles. We do not have a convincing model around the health of batteries and the technology that's associated with it.
Right.
Charging networks, affordability, these vehicles, which target market are we reaching here? So affordability becomes an issue. So we still have a journey to go, but we cannot sit here and think that the evolution of electric vehicles is not coming. It's here.
I'm not even sure that we need mechanics, right? Or certainly engineers of some sort for an electric vehicle for repairing, and as you say, the health of batteries.
Yeah, you know, I think that will probably have to be a show on its own. But absolutely, the entire value chain will have to be ready. Our dealers, as they currently are, would have to really reshape how we actually look after our customers from a service and maintenance perspective.
Just about affordability, talk to me about subscription models, please. That's my final question. In terms of insurance inclusion, is that something? I think I've seen that coming up with BMW, but I haven't seen it that often.
Once again, it talks about the emerging trends that are taking place in the automotive sector. And thank you. That's such a good question, Rufilwe. The traditional model of owning a vehicle, we are starting to see a decline on that. And our data is showing that subscription modeling, which talks to, I don't want to own a vehicle. I want to pay as I use. So if you're looking at the e-hailing services, the pay as you drive services, this is what is happening. And the Gen Zs are actually driving this demand as well. So what does it mean? What are we doing as automotive to be flexible and lean towards servicing this consumer who doesn't necessarily want to own a vehicle? They just want to pay for what they use when they use it. So, and that's the reality of the world that we're in. But before we go, there's one important thing that I think it's important for Kaya Biz.
Yes.
Even though the vehicle sales market is declining and the vehicle asset finance book is declining, the delinquency rate is also declining.
Oh, that's good.
That means you and I, Rufilwe, are now very conscious about how we borrow, how we pay, how we manage our credit score. When the economy uplifts, we are able to be part of the affordability market and we're able to buy vehicles.
Thank you so much, Marsha Mayaba, sales vice president of Auto Information Services at TransUnion South Africa.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.